Blog Talk Radio.
It is Rich Wilson, and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It's Thursday evening, and here we're here to talk about prospects this evening. If you're looking for our normal fantasy baseball show where Tim talked about first base, it was episode prior to that. To simply go back to iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from, go back one, and you will see that downloaded. If you want to know about National League West prospects, this is your show, and it's going to be a good one. There's a lot of fun systems in there, in particular the San Diego Padres, so much with the San Francisco Giants, a couple of guys here and there, like the Dodger system a lot. Anyway, I'm going to turn it over to Tim, and he is going to be interviewing me about those prospects. Real quickly, if you want to support the show, go out to prospect361.com and visit our sponsors. They're on the right-hand side, StubHub, MLB Shops, Signer Sports, and Amazon.com. And you can also use those Google AdSense ads that we do. Right after the title of the article, click those on. If it's something that's germane to something you like, click it on, buy it, click it on, look at it, whatever you want. Tim and I get paid a few pennies if you do that. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, I think we're good now.
Yeah, that's awesome, Rich. I'm glad we could get it rolling tonight because there's some great prospects on tap that we're going to be discussing this evening. And I hate to put it off any longer. Done lots of prep and looking forward to chatting it up tonight.
Yeah, for sure, Timmy. It would have been the worst case scenario is 45 minutes an hour later we're finished and then all of a sudden we listen back and it's dead air. That would have been really a bummer. So,
yeah, you know, there's nothing like the soundtrack for a silent movie instead of prospect talk, right?
Yeah, for sure, Timmy, for sure. How's your week been, my friend?
Dealing with a bit of a cold, but the weather is inclined to sort of push things in that direction. A lot of people sick, and the weather hasn't been really great. They're calling for minus 45 or minus 50 tonight, something like that, but other than the cold, things are good. How about you in the warmer climes in the south?
It's been 65 degrees today here, Timmy. It was nice and warm. It was cold on Sunday when last we spoke, but has warmed up substantially. Yeah, things are good. Things are really good. So I've had a really good week. I have finished my top 100 prospects. Timmy, they are done. I have worked extremely hard on it, Timmy, and I'm really pleased with the end result because I've been taking chances more and more, and I really took some chances here. There are players, I know this because I put a baseball card from Amazon out next to all of them, and there are five or six guys that do not have baseball cards yet. So I went for some high upside guys, Timmy, that the world doesn't know about yet, and I'm pretty excited about them.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's time the world did know about them. And I commend you for being bold, Rich. You know, it would be very easy to just take the... but no, looking a little bit deeper, I think it's important that information is shared with the reader and listener.
Between 1 and 100, Timmy, give me a number and I will tell you a name.
I'm going to try for... Yeah, I should say one. Okay, I think I know that one. Let's try 27.
Oh, Timmy going up pretty high in the list. Oh, Timmy, this is a guy that we're going to talk about this evening. So, but we'll talk about him now. He is a Dodgers pitcher that I said in my article I was going to get really behind, Timmy, and I am so far...
Right.
I guess I'm in front of the guy. I got him ranked 27, Dustin May of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Many, many people have never heard of this cat. 6'6" guy. He's got he was funny. When he was first drafted, he was sitting about 92 miles an hour, and he was a reliever in college, and the Dodgers didn't know like what he was going to be. And then he said he wanted to start. He worked on his strength and arm mechanics, and now he's hitting the upper 90s starting. And the stuff is nasty. I've seen him pitch. I mean, he's got a really good curveball. It's a heavy curveball, a power curve, and then a heavy sinker, and he's just nasty, Timmy. And he could – I doubt he's up in 2019, but he's definitely there in 2020. And he's one of those under-the-radar pitchers that I just like a lot. And I got him in front of some well-known pitchers, Timmy. I mean, I do. I got him at 27. So you picked a good number, Tim.
Yeah, I did real well. Definitely, April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a good name. I encourage everybody to go out and read about him. Check your waiver wires on your dynasty league. He is a guy that, again, Tim, you can't teach size. This is a 6'6" guy with massive downward plane, really good stuff. I mean, look, he's still learning to pitch, and there's some control issues, but he's athletic, and I think it's going to come together. If it does, you know, he's got Walker Buehler in front of him. It could be a nice little 1-2 combination as Clayton Kershaw, starts to, regress a little bit.
Well, you've got him at number 2 for a reason, and I'm glad that I called Lucky 27. An interesting player to talk about for sure.
So, Timmy, let's turn it over. I don't know where you want to start. It's totally open. Prospect season, it is open for you. Start wherever you want, and let's go.
Okay, I think I'm going to start with the Diamondbacks. Just happened to be scanning through today, and after the Pollock signing today, I think there's a draft pick involved. They've got 7 draft picks now in the upcoming June amateur, Rich. 16, 26, 33, 34, 56, 75, 78. Could be a good year to be a prospect hound in the Diamondbacks system, eh?
For sure, Timmy. And, they're having to rebuild. It'll be interesting to see if they move Zach Greinke. They've got, the system is good, not great, but the guy who leads it off, Timmy, is one of my guys. He is one of my guys, and he's not that far away from Dustin May. Let's just say that. He's way up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the one thing I wanted to mention off the top here was I was a little disappointed. Where's Yasmani Tomas?
Poor guy. He's done. He's having dinner with the Ruzny Castile. And they both have plenty of money to spend on steak and liquor, whatever they want. So
they're not doing drive through, that's for sure. Okay.
That's for sure.
Let's get started with Jazz Chisholm right off the hop. My big question was, where does he fit into your top 100, Rich?
He's in the top 50, Tim, and, I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, and, he's athletic, he's got speed, he's got really good bat speed. Yeah, I mean, he's striking out too much, but, I mean, what is he, 20, 21 years old? He's a young kid there's a lot to like with Jazz Chisholm, and this is where I've moved to, Timmy, with the top 100 and just looking at prospects. I'm going more on ceiling more and more, as opposed to we go down John Plantier. I mean, he's a nice pitcher and all, but I mean, he can't stay healthy, and he's a mid rotation number 4 guy. I mean, if he could stay healthy, maybe he's a little bit more than that. So what? Jazz Chisholm could be a star. Let's put him at the top.
That makes total sense to me, Rich. The next 2 picks you've got at 2 and 3 are interesting, because they play the same position. Who you got long term, Carson Kelly or Dalton Varsho?
So I think Varsho is. I think he's going to be the modern day baseball player, Timmy, and that is Ben Zobrist. I mean, I think that's what we're starting to see is multi positional eligibility. We're seeing it with Nick Senzel with Cincinnati. I mean, where is he going to play? Well, he's going to play everywhere. And I think that's where Dalton Varsho is going to be all over the place. The problem is, I mean, Carson Kelly's a nice player. He's, he's a good defensive catcher. He's not a great defensive catcher. He's a good offensive player, but he's not a great offensive player. I mean, he's going to be a solid major leaguer, I think, a top 15-ish type of catcher, maybe a little bit more just because catching currently is not very good. But, I mean, he's not Buster Posey either. Varsho is the one that's interesting. I mean, that speed is real. I mean, we're seeing him steal 15 or 20 bases. And if he gets 20 or 30 starts at catcher and 20 or 30 starts in the outfield, and that's going to be he has a chance to be a much better fantasy player than Carson Kelly.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. So, you know, we could see a situation where Kelly is supposedly the number one catcher. Varsho is the backup to him, but getting enough at bats all over the place to compensate for maybe a lack at catcher and actually proving to be more valuable, like you said, in our game than Kelly. Interesting.
I have his fantasy ceiling as a top 10 catcher, and I have Kelly's fantasy ceiling as a top 15 catcher. We could go, well, Wilson, what are you doing, man? Why isn't Varsho ahead of him? Well, Kelly's probably going to be the starting catcher for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
You know, so be looking 3 years out, 5 years out, or this year out. So, you know, that's just kind of the struggling thing that we have. But hopefully, and I know people don't do this to me because nobody reads, right? But if they read, you'd see the fantasy excitement there is with Varsho.
Yeah. No, I get it, Rich. I really do. Moving on, at number four, you've got John DePlancher. I liked what I saw in Arizona. I really did. I think the kid's getting very, very close to being ready. In draft and holds, you're looking at him as a bench slot potentially in redraft leagues. What are your thoughts as far as rostering this kid heading into 2019, Rich?
Definitely draft and holds, Timmy. I have to check to see if he's on my team. He might be on my NFBC team. I don't know, Favetto. I don't know about a bench slot in my redraft league, Timmy, unless I'm on a really deep, have a really deep bench. I mean, here's the problem. One is he plays in Arizona. They're not going to be a very good team. So how many wins are going to be there? And we know it's difficult to pitch in the desert. I mean, it just is. So I'm not encouraged in a rookie season to pick a guy on my draft, a guy, put him on my valuable bench. Plantier. I'm not sure that's a smart move.
Okay. Yeah, more along waiver wire material if and when he gets called up. That's the situation.
I think he will be on your – he could be on your waiver wire article sometime May, June type of time frame. And Timmy, it must be noted. It must be noted about his Madison Bumgarner long swing action that he's got the delivery, man. He's injured all the time. And you get Madison Bumgarner, they got these funky deliveries, and everybody goes, well, gee, that works for them. Well, they're outliers, Timmy. That's not a good delivery of them and for DePlancher. And he's never going to be able to change it, but he's always, not always, there's a chance he's going to be injured more than we think. So that's why I think a little hesitation there.
Yeah, I noticed the oddity when I was watching him. He sort of brings it back behind his head and sort of cocks it and then moves forward very, very quickly. It's very much a Madison Bumgarner type delivery. And, yeah, it was fascinating to watch him, but the days that I saw him, he looked real good.
So, Timmy, they call that in scouting parlance that you have elbow drag, right? So that means that your elbow is behind your body. And what has to happen is then your elbow's got to come really quickly through, and this puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the elbow. And if we look back, he's had bicep problems. It's all related, and you know that's a red flag. And you could see it with Madison Bumgarner. You can also see it with him as well. And it's fascinating. Hopefully, our listeners and readers will see that and go, "Oh, I know what those guys were talking about," and that's it. So.
Yeah, like I said, it was just cool to watch him pitch. You know what I mean? It was distinctly different. There's no doubt about it, Rich.
So when you're in Arizona next year, and if he's back there or something, you could just lean over to somebody and go, look at that elbow drag. And people are going to go, whoa, wow, yeah, look at you.
Yeah, and I'll say, yeah, go read Rich's article. He told me all about it.
Yeah, you don't have to give me credit. I mean, it's just talk. I say, yeah, it's elbow track.
I gotta give you credit for it, Rich. It wouldn't be me if I didn't. Christian Robinson. The helium's sort of getting a little crazy with this kid right now. I've seen some dynasty trades where his name's popping up, and I just don't know, Rich. Like, I mean, the helium is starting to grow at a pace that is it warranted?
Well, I mean, look, he's a young kid. He's got tons of tools. He's going to swing and miss a lot, but he's not even 20 years old yet. So, you know, it's interesting. The good doctor, Dr. Mershak, and I were discussing a trade, which we finally executed. I forgot who it was. It was a pretty big name in DL2. Oh, it's for Shohei Ohtani. And one of the guys who was debating was Christian Robinson, and eventually he got taken out and replaced by some other pieces. But I was very interested in that player. He's, again, Timmy, the kind of player in dynasty leagues that you want in your team that was signed for $2.5 million, uber athletic. Yeah, he might bomb, but you're going to find that out in the first couple of years. But he didn't. He took off, and now becomes a very valuable asset to trade if you're in competition, you know, and you can, you know, it can help you bring in a big piece that you need. Are you going to have the patience? Is Tim McCloud going to have the patience to wait 4 years before he's ready? Probably not. But, man, he's a talent. He's a guy that you should have on your team.
Okay. No, I was just curious because every time his name pops up, it seems to be very, very, very highly regarded, Rich. And like I said, I was just curious. Tyler Widener, are we going to see him in 2019? What do you think?
I don't know if I want to own him. But, I mean, I know there's a lot of people like Taylor Widener.
Right.
But, I mean, to me, he's a number four starter, maybe a chance to be a number three starter. But, you know, I he can touch the mid-90s, but he generally sits 92 to 94. And, you know, he's okay. You know, so again, you put him maybe in San Diego, and I get a little bit more interesting on that. But you put him in Arizona, and I'm not so interested.
I get that totally. Pavin Smith.
Yeah, it's bad.
What do we do? What do we do, Rich? Is it buy low time or stay away time?
I think it's stay away time, Tim. I mean, he slugged 392 in the California League. Now, you ever been to a game in the California League?
No, but I've heard you describe them, Rich.
So for our listeners, and just remind yourself, Timmy, so the Southern California League, which is really California, right? So the kind of that Southern California, it's Lancaster, it's near San Diego, and there's all that area down there. It's all elevated. The air is very dry, and it's windy. And balls fly out a lot of those parks and Rancho Cucamonga and all those kind of places. And you can't slug, if you're a number one draft pick slugging 392 and hitting 11 home runs, there's a problem in that league. I mean, you can pretty much flick a bat and hit a home run there. It's remarkable.
Okay. Yeah, no, because I know a lot of people had him in fairly high regards. And, you know, when I see the name James Loney mentioned, that's not good, is it?
I never forget, I was in Lancaster a few years ago, maybe even last year. Guy hit a pop-up, Tim, and it was on the edge of the infield. Third baseman was under it. And the ball kept drifting and drifting and drifting. And I bet you it ended up 15 steps away from the warning track. It was remarkable. And, you know, the left fielder called it. So, and you're just sitting there going, that's just crazy. I mean, you could just see the ball, like, drifting. It wasn't, it was a pop-up, and it just drifted probably 100 feet.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Alex with a K Thomas, Rich.
Well, I mean, that's, look, guys like this, I mean, I have him as a top 45 outfielder. There is 20/20
right.
upside, but there's, you know, the problem is he's going to hit enough. So,
okay.
So I like what's there. I think that it's probably one of those guys with a fairly high floor, but I just don't know, you know, what kind of ceiling he's going to have. So, I, you know, you did put it as 20/20 upside, but
right.
plus runner, how much power is he going to have? The power's got to develop. How much is he going to hit? But, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
something there. I mean, so you take a look at these top 10 guys, Timmy. And Pavin Smith,
yep.
you can argue, maybe is not there. Alex Thomas could be moving up. I mean, he's a kid that was drafted in 2018, the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not bad. And I believe the Diamondbacks weren't able to sign their first round draft pick, so he was their first pick of the draft.
Okay. Is Socrates Brito still in that system, Rich? Do you know?
He is. Yeah, he is. Last I look, he is.
Okay.
He's your classic toolsy fourth outfielder.
Yeah, no, I was just curious because he didn't make the list. And I remember writing him up at least half a dozen times in waiver wire articles over the years. Every time he got called up, Tim had put him on a waiver wire article. So I was just wondering if he was still even in the game.
He still is, last I heard, Timmy. I can check. I mean, it was pretty sure he's still with the Diamondbacks. Is he
okay.
in prospect anymore? Yeah, 168 at bats, so he is not prospect eligible anymore. But batting 202 with a 229 on base percentage. So there you go.
Yeah, that sums it up rather nicely. Hey, what a name for a kid, eh? Blaze Alexander. He's got to be a runner. He has to be. But what caught my attention was he's an 11th round pick, and he managed to make your top 15 right out of the gate. That's rather impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, I was hoping you would bring that up, because, you know, this is one of my, you know, guys that I actually got some reviews on probably in the July timeframe when he got out,
okay.
and I was chatting with an evaluator on another player, and he goes, "Hey, have you seen Blaze Alexander?" I go, "I don't know who Blaze Alexander is." He says, "Late mid round draft pick, 2018. This guy's got pop.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some speed. You need to get out and take a look at him." So, you know,
okay.
I said, "Hey, it's research." I talked to some other people who were, you know, out in that area, and they all sung his praises. So he makes the list. I mean, I think he made one of my hot prospect lists as well. Late in the season.
Okay.
So yeah. Speed, power, can hit. Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, it definitely intrigued me, especially when you said an 11th round pick, you know, making it to that level this early. Moving on, Yan Lopez.
Yeah.
I'm glad you put him in there simply because it reminded me of that disaster from a few years ago when he went AWOL. I forgot all about that. So it was sort of neat to just, you know, to reminisce about that. But, you know, he's turned into a pretty good pitcher. You know, his numbers at AA, he struck out 87 and 61 and two-thirds, 11 Ks and 9 innings with the Diamondbacks at the end of the year in a late-season call-up. I know Archie Bradley and Hirano are ahead of him, but is there some possibility that he could work his way into the odd save? I like the numbers he posted last year. I was impressed.
Yes. He would be a guy, Timmy, in dynasty leagues. I'm in the redraft
yep.
of the dynasty league, and he's going to be on most waiver wires because, I mean, it was a, you know, he came up at the end of the year, but, I mean, who was Yoan Lopez?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Timmy, this guy's got a great arm, and the question
yep.
is, are they going to keep Archie Bradley? You know, are they going to keep the Japanese kid? I don't know. I mean, if they're rebuilding, Archie Bradley could return a lot given what, you know, bullpen arms are going for.
Yeah.
And why not turn the reins over to a guy named Yoan Lopez who, I mean, he's got nasty stuff.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I looked at the numbers and I said, wow, that break he took a few years ago looks like it paid dividends. Yeah, and Hirano's not a kid either. He's like,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
mid-30s.
Yeah, when Lopez was signed out of Cuba, I mean, there was a lot of – I mean, the Diamondbacks got in a lot of trouble because there was some shenanigans going on there, so they couldn't sign international players for a while. So he was a very – I think he was $8 million, if I recall, they signed him for. And then, again, they got in trouble for some things they did. And so they had a lot invested in him. And when AWOL, it looked like it was all going to go south, but he's always had a great arm. And it looks like he got his stuff together, his emotional stuff together, and has turned out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, no, like I said, it was just really cool when I saw that name because, like I said, it brought back memories of a few years ago. Eh? And I'm glad the kid looks like he's got it together. That's excellent.
Yep.
Finally, we have Alvin Guzman, and the thing that stuck out to me about Alvin Guzman is I saw something that I don't think I've seen very many times, if at all, and that's you have his fantasy ceiling as too soon to say.
Yeah, no. He's not even 17 yet. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to put? I mean, this guy is he's a toolsy kid. They signed him for a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what would you like me to put, Tim? And I'll put it, because I think at some point we're guessing. So...
Yeah, no, I laughed when I saw that. I thought, that bingo, that's absolutely perfect. What can you say about a lot of these 16-year-olds, Rich, really?
Yeah, I mean, you could with Wander Franco, I mean, you can, like, Vlad, when these guys were signed, you can go, wow, okay, there's something there. Maybe Luciano at San Francisco, you might be able to put a ceiling on, but Alvin Guzman, I'm going to put a ceiling on this guy? He might be out of baseball in 2 years, so...
Well, yeah, he could grow 6 inches in the next 2 years, right?
Yeah.
You don't know. At 16, I know what I was doing, and I wasn't trying to begin a Major League Baseball career, that's for sure, Rich. Anything else you'd like to add about the Diamondbacks system?
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Wilson has been a real disappointment for me. I think I added him in all my Dynasty Leagues last year, 2017, and it just hasn't come together, Timmy. I mean, it's just,
okay.
I mean, he regressed. The hit tool is not what we think it is. I haven't heard anything about want issues or just general makeup issues, but man, it was a bad season.
Well, yeah. What was this? On base 309 in the California League?
I don't know what it was. It looks like that's what it is. Yeah, 235, 309 OBP, yeah, 111 games.
Mm.
He slugged 69. That's just not, as we talked about with Pavin Smith, that's not good, Timmy. That's not good enough.
Yep. And, you know, he is 22 years old. The clock is starting to tick, isn't it?
Yep. So I think 2019, if we don't see some real movement, it's probably time to move on.
Okay, fair enough.
Timmy, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll hit another system.
Sounds good, Rich.
A long time with the Diamondbacks, Timmy. They're better systems than that. It's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim, you got to pace yourself, okay? Let's get with the program tonight. Alex Verdugo, how bad do the Dodgers hate them? With the Pollock signing today, he's got to be trade bait, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's look, here I have a lot to say about Verdugo. I'll try to summarize it here. He's a double-plus hit, Timmy. This is a double-plus hit, though. This guy can hit.
Right.
He hasn't shown a lot of power. I still think he's got enough bat speed that he's going to hit 20 home runs. Everything that I'm starting to hear about Verdugo is he's lazy. I've heard that from multiple people that he's a little lazy. And, you know, and I know that the Marlins, you know, the Dodgers and Marlins are talking about JT Realmuto, and one of the names being fancied about is Verdugo, and, you know, there's some pushback on the Marlins side. You know, it's like, hey, we like the kid, but does he really want it? And that's not good when they start to get that reputation.
No, it's not, because it probably travels very, very quickly through the ranks of MLB executives, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it looks like a bad first guy in the rank, right? I mean, I love the player, and hopefully he'll mature. Hopefully the whispers I'm hearing, they're not rumors, they're whispers. When I put together, people go like, hey man, the skills are, he's a top 20 prospect, but the attitude is just not there. So.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you have anything further to add to Dustin May after our intro discussion, or can we skip right by him?
Pick him up.
Pick him up. Okay. Done like dinner, Rich. Then we get a catcher at number 3, Keibert Ruiz. You know, I look at Ruiz, okay, and then a couple notches down the ladder at 5, you got Will Smith, okay? Well, to me, they look like pretty good catchers, okay? Why are the Dodgers going so hard after Jacob Realmuto? You know, Barnes isn't, you know, he's not a great catcher, but he's solid. But with these two catchers in the system, it just sort of surprises me a bit that the Dodgers are chasing so hard after Realmuto. Or is it just for this 1 year, Rich, that they want him there?
Well, I mean, first of all, Keibert Ruiz is just turning 20. I know it was his 19th year last year. Look, you hit 254 and you get all disappointed, and Keibert Ruiz, the guy, he's not that good. But he was 19 as a catcher. To me, that's really unheard of, and why you'll see him in my top 100 as high as he is. I think he is a premium prospect. But what's wrong with slowing him down a little bit? So Realmuto comes in for 2 years, and so you figure Keibert Ruiz has got one more year in the minor leagues in AAA, if not in AA and AAA. Why not keep him down another half season and then bring him up and let him split some time with Realmuto, unless they think they can re-sign Realmuto. Maybe they don't. I mean, they just turn it over to Keibert Ruiz when he's all of 22 years old. So to me, I think it makes a lot of sense. Will Smith is an Austin Barnes type of guy. He came up as a third base and moved to catcher. Turns out he's a really good athlete, very good catcher. But he can play a little third. Mm-hmm. He can play a little second. Again, modern day guy that he might be the super utility that everybody is looking like they want to have. So you're almost looking at an Austin Barnes type of player with Will Smith, and Keibert Ruiz is probably Osmani Grandel kind of guy. So long term, you could see, you know, a platoon situation where, you know, Keibert Ruiz gets most of the at bats there, but Will Smith gets 40 or 50 games and is slotted in behind a lot of other people, and it might be a nice little combination they have. But a couple of years
away. It sounds an awful lot like the same situation in Arizona we just covered.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's great. Gavin Lux. Okay. He's on fire. Everybody wants Gavin Lux. Should Corey Seager be starting to get a little concerned, Rich? Lux had himself a great year last year, and, you know, he's got to be one of the quietest, best-known prospects in the game. Does that make sense?
He hasn't been drafted that long, and you're going to be like, I'm all in on Gavin Lux. I think those four Dodgers that we saw here that we've covered, they're all top 50 prospects. Gavin Lux, the healing that he's getting is very real, Tim. Rancho Cucamonga, it's a nice swing. It's got some pop, not a whole lot of speed. I mean, a little bit of speed, maybe 10 to 12 stolen bases. I don't think Corey Seager should be. I've always thought Corey Seager would move to third anyway, but I don't think Corey Seager has anything to worry about. But Gavin Lux can play.
Who is Tony Gonsolin? Never heard of the guy until I read your article.
I own him at least one or two dynasty leagues. I might own him in DL5. You should check that. He's one of those kids, Timmy, that same as with Dustin May. I mean, he came in throwing 92, 93. Now he's starting to hit the upper 90s, and, you know, he was the Dodgers thought he was a reliever and convinced everybody, hey, I'm a starter. And sure enough, Timmy, he's getting better. So this is a guy that I put as a mid-rotation starter. If you told me in 3 years he is better than that, I would not be at all surprised.
Okay, yeah, no, I just never heard of the kid, eh? And for you to have him ranked six, it just really caught my attention.
He should, Timmy. Again, you like those guys that are athletes, the pitchers that are athletes. He was a former positional player. Hasn't been pitching all that long, and you know he's worked really hard to get where he is. And you know I've known about him for a couple of years now, and that's why I've added him to dynasty leagues, and I've dropped him because I'm stupid. But you know just because I just rotate these kind of players, you know, because you know the flavor of the month. But yeah, he's pretty good.
Okay, excellent. Mitch White, we have to look a little bit deeper than that 4.53 ERA at Tulsa, don't we?
Yeah, it in the end of the year, he finally started to put together. Mitchell White, I saw him, was it the California League, not 2017 and 2016, when he started off the year, Timmy, and it looked like he was maybe as good as Walker Buehler. I mean, this is the kind of helium he had at that point. He's not been able to stay healthy at all. So he comes back, pitches terrible the beginning of the year, and finally starts to knock the rust off at the end of the year. So he's been owned and dropped in a lot of dynasty leagues, a lot of keeper leagues. People should go back and revisit it. August, 2.08 ERA, 25 strikeouts, the darn good.
Yeah, that'll make you forget about the 4.53 season ERA in a hurry, won't it?
It surely will.
Yes. Diego Cartea. Dodgers spent a small fortune on this kid, $2.5 million, as a catcher. Is it time for us folks to do the same? Start spending a little bit in deeper leagues, Rich?
Very, very deep leagues. I mean, it's what is it? 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So it's 5+ years away. But again, he was one of the top international prospects coming out. I know a lot of people that liked him better than they did Luciano, who went for, you know, probably, you know, he was probably a little higher ranked, if you will. But this is a guy that, you know, I was able to put a top 15 catcher on him because I've heard so much hype with people that saw him down in the Dominican leagues and think that he's already going to be a very good catcher and can hit with some power. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that really like this kid.
Okay, time to keep him on the radar and see how the next couple of years progress, I'm assuming.
Right.
Okay, Yadier Alvarez, 48 innings. He walked 43. Oops.
Yeah, it might be time to cut Yadier Alvarez, and I own him in DL2, I think. It's not been good, Timmy. I mean, he's got an electric arm, and he can't put it together. Mm-hmm. There's also been whispers of one issues there as well and some makeup issues that just is, you know, a little disinterested in the game.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to Miguel Vargas, Rich. Is it time to toss a dart at this kid in subdrafts this spring?
Yeah, I mean, look, I love these, you know, Latin players that come up and, you know, it's just bang on. I mean, he's a Cuban kid that came up and hit one base percentage of 4.04 starting off. I mean, yeah, I mean, look, in my opinion, if you've got 20 prospects in your dynasty league, you just have two or three of those guys that are young bets, and Vargas could be one of those. Probably rather own Cartier more than Vargas. Vargas might be he is ahead of him. So, you know, if you feel like you're you don't want to wait 5 years and rather do 3 years than maybe or 4 years, then maybe it's Vargas. So yeah, I think he should be considered.
Okay. Any other prospects in the Dodgers system you want to bring up before we move on to an hour and a half chat on the Padres?
Just an overall comment to me. I mean, the Dodgers know how to do it. It's a really good system. You know, system that, you know, let's not forget, Timmy, Corey Seager, Rookie of the Year, Cody Bellinger, Rookie of the Year, and Walker Buehler, runner-up to the runner-up Rookie of the Year. And if it weren't for two freaks in front of him, he might have been the Rookie of the Year. I mean, Ronald Acuna is a freak, and Juan Soto might be as well. I mean, these are ridiculous athletes who have tremendous upside. And Walker Buehler had a really worthy National League Rookie of the Year season and didn't get it. So we're 3 years in a row, Timmy. I don't think Verdugo is going to get a chance to do that, but if you told me Dustin May has a chance to be that kind of Rookie of the Year consideration in 2020, I wouldn't be surprised. If you tell me that Kaber Ruiz in 2020 or 2021 has a chance to be Rookie of the Year candidate, I would not be surprised. I mean, it's a strong, strong system.
Yeah, and like you said, the Dodgers definitely do it right. Walker Buehler was the best pitcher in Los Angeles for the second half of the season. No doubt.
Yes. And you agree with my comment on, like, I mean, Acuna and Soto, those are anomalies. I mean, they might be generational type players coming on. You just don't see a 19-year-old like Soto do what he did. I mean, that's impossible. Maybe we'll see it again next year with Vlad Jr. or this year with Vlad Jr. That's crazy what he did.
Well, yeah. How many draft and hold leagues last year, okay, was Juan Soto not in any leagues? I'd be willing to bet that Juan Soto wasn't listed in 95%, okay, of all draft and hold leagues last year. And he finished second. He finished second to Acuna. Like, that's unheard of.
Yeah, so the only guy that I know who was a huge Juan Soto fan coming into last year was a guy who runs the Fantasy Rundown site, which is a really good site.
Okay.
It publishes my stuff and actually gives it a lot of a lot of prime real estate. I think he likes what we do. He's been a good friend. I mean, he's been all in on Juan Soto, I think, since he was in diapers. And I got to give it up to him. He was absolutely right. I thought he was crazy. Like, this is a guy that can do something in 2018, but he surely did. And, you know, that hit tool is good.
It is real good, Rich. Okay, let's move on to the Padres and take a look at, I'm assuming, definitely top five, possibly as high as number two in your top 100, Fernando Tatis. When do we see him in San Diego, Rich?
I don't know if I should put Junior next to it or not. I don't know if he goes by Fernando Tatis Junior or just Tatis. I don't know. I would have said you don't see him. In fact, I did. I wrote 220. I did this really before I really investigated what he did in the winter. It was pretty ridiculous.
He tore it up down in the Dominican. Yeah. Oh yeah.
His hit tool is not where it needs to be long term. We already talked about freaks. I mean, maybe Tatis is a freak too. Maybe he can pull a Juan Soto and come up and destroy major league pitching. I don't think so. I think he could stand to spend an entire year partially in Double A and in Triple A, like working on his hit tool and be ready to roll in 2020. But, you know, if the Padres catch fire, Timmy, and they're better than anybody thought they were, I mean, could we see him? Absolutely.
What would you do? Would you make a prediction right now? Homers, stolen bases, batting average?
For next year? For 2019, I don't.
Or just stay away?
I mean, a draft and hold league, I'd definitely be drafting him. But in a regular draft,
right.
I mean, it's really hard. I mean, he will be drafted. Just because people love the name and people that are really into this are following what he did in the Winter League. But the Winter League is junk ballers, Timmy. So,
right.
You know, that's a lot. Look at the pitchers there. You're not seeing Walker Buehler's not pitching in the Winter League, Timmy. It's a 37-year-old Venezuelan guy who's throwing 87 miles an hour. I'm not making that up. So, I mean, they're junk ballers in the Winter Leagues.
Oh yeah, you know, I think Fernando Rodney was one of the stars.
He's a big deal on this lad. I mean, you know, guy. Look, I mean, we can make fun of all we want, the crooked hat, the arrows, and you know, really season and the whole season. And he's been incredibly successful as a Major League Baseball player, and is looked upon by these young Latin kids. I mean, it's a big deal.
Well, yeah, he's still pitching in Major League Baseball on the other side of 40. That counts, Rich.
Yeah.
It really does.
It sure does.
Okay, we're going to try a little bit of a different exercise here. Rather than spending a lot of time on Mackenzie Gore, you know, he's your number two prospect, and you love everything about him, but you've got his ETA as 2021, okay? So I thought we'd try something different and play a little game here.
Okay.
What is the Padres' starting rotation in 2021? I got Mackenzie Gore. I'm assuming that's one.
Yeah,
who are the other four?
Okay. Okay, that's a good. So let's go not necessarily in rank order. Let's go in where I think.
I can give you names if you want because I've got
ten names
here.
No, you don't have to do that to me.
Okay.
Because I think I got this. Well, I'll get four of them. Chris Paddock is going to be one of those guys. Chris Paddock will be there in 2019. He is a guy, of all the pitchers you keep asking, should I draft somebody? He might be the guy I draft. He's done nothing extremely well after coming back from Tommy John surgery. Before even the Tommy John surgery, he was fantastic. He hasn't lost a beat. The stuff's gotten better. I think we see him this year. I think he has a chance to be a number two starter. So serious juice there. The next guy is Allen. He's a guy that came over in the Craig Kimbrell trade from Boston, and I think Boston's probably kicking themselves. He's a nice little pitcher. He's a solid three guy. He might pitch a little bit better because he's pitching in Petco. You know, it's hard to use these names of stadiums now, Timmy, because they're all changing. So I think the Giant Stadium, the sponsor is no longer AT&T. It's some other one. I don't know what we're going to call these stadiums now.
I'm going to call them by the names I know them by, Rich. Milwaukee just switched, I think, to American Family Insurance. They're calling it AmFam or something. It's Miller Park, okay? And I'll call it Miller Park forever.
Let's see if Petco Park. Yeah, it still looks like they're the sponsor. So, it's changing so fast. But anyway, I like Logan Allen a lot, and I think a lot of other he's having some helium this year, Timmy, because – and I was on him last year, but I believe he's starting to get some – people are starting to really understand his potential. I think – also, the next guy I would put in there is Adrian Morion, the number four.
Okay.
He's a lefty. This guy has a chance to be a high number three, low number two starter. He's had some arm trouble, so we have to be a little cognizant, a little worrisome about that. But, man, the guy's probably got the best pure stuff in the entire system.
Wow.
You know, he's not a big guy, it's really good. So that's the fourth guy. And that's probably going to come out of this system. I think Michael Baez has a chance to be a starter. I think he moves to the bullpen eventually. What is he?
Right.
He's gigantic. He reminds me of Dylan Betances. So, I mean, that's like, you know, it's just
a big boy imposing
on the mound. Really good stuff, just can't control, and it's going to be tough for him to have some level of average control in the next couple of years, even though I have his ET at 2020. And again, way down on the list, that is, people love this guy. I got him at 2022, but Luis Patino, he's getting tremendous push, and I think he made my top 100, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, he and Brian Weathers probably should have. He's number 11. He probably should have made it. I mean, this is a stacked system. I don't know who the other one would be, Timmy. I don't know who's on the major league. Tell me that. But those are the four guys I would probably want.
Probably Joey Lucchese will be around. He's still young and still developing.
Yeah. He's
he might be number five.
It's a
Eric
good...
Lauer. Eric Lauer and Jacob Nix are both on that big league roster as well, and they weren't thought of as slouches at one point in time either, were they?
Again, to me, we are all fans of Jacob Nix. And do you know the story about Jacob Nix?
Fill me in, Rich.
So he was, so when Brady, it was a pre, now I'm getting it confused. It was, there was, I think it was the Astros had discussions with this guy early on before he was signed. And the Philadelphia Phillies basically squealed on Major League Baseball that they were having the Astros or somebody was having discussions with him, and he had signed for $1.5 million. This was in 2016 with the Astros, and Major League Baseball declared him ineligible. He couldn't sign.
Oh.
So they said you can't sign. So they allowed the Astros a double up pick the next year, but then Jacob Nix had already. Because he had already contacted and hired an agent, he wasn't able to pitch in college. So he was without a home. So he went and pitched in, some stupid league, one of those prep college leagues and so forth. And he didn't pitch well. It was terrible. And I think he finally signed with the Padres. I think they signed for $300,000. So he got screwed by Baseball and the Philadelphia Phillies for $1.2 million just because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So we're all on Jacob Nix. We're all on the Jacob Nix fan club. You should be, because you want this guy to be successful and get that money back somehow, some way that was basically stolen from him. It just was wrong.
I'll have to look into that a little bit more when we get off the air. Interesting story, Rich.
I think I wrote about it maybe last year, and I told everybody to be on the Jacob Nix fan club. So,
okay. Third on your list, Francisco Mejia. Is he a number one catcher, a number two catcher? Does he eventually, much like you said, with Varsho and Will Smith, does he gain perhaps third base eligibility? What do you think is going to happen in 2019 with Mejia?
I think it's a really good question, Timmy. You've already positioned yourself as let's not jump on the Francisco Mejia train yet. Because one, he's an average catcher. He's not a great catcher. It's hard to dispute your logic. Now they might move Hedges. They might move Hedges to Miami if they ever make a trade for JT Realmuto, be part of that deal. But you would want Hedges to work with these young pitchers, and I'm not sure Francisco Mejia is that guy. But the offensive upside never walks. But he makes great contact. So the offensive upside is tremendous. Is he again? And in the form of a Dalton Varsho, who plays a little bit all over the place, he could be.
Okay, yeah, no, it's I just wanted to give it a quick review. Luis Urias, at bats, home runs, stolen bases, batting average, or OBP, pick one.
Yeah, Timmy, I struggle with that. I'm going to a lot of haters because I think I think he's going to be a better baseball player than a fantasy baseball player. I think he's going to hit. So you could see a 285 hit tool, but you could see 8 home runs and 10 stolen bases.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, when I look at what I saw, I think he's going to slash the ball all over the place. He's going to make great contact. I think he's got potential for a 360-plus OBP. But if you ask me right now, what am I penciling in for him next year? I'd say be very happy if you got 10-10.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's kind of how I felt, and I use this a lot. I've been dead wrong on Dansby Swanson. I thought that's the player Dansby Swanson would be. High batting average, high on-base percentage, and a 10-12 guy. Both stolen. It's a nice player, right? That's a middle infielder on your fantasy team. And of course, Dansby Swanson, what happened to his hit tool? I still think he'll hit, but I think we're looking at a similar kind of player. They're not fantasy friendly tools. They're just not.
Okay, no, fair enough. this guy we both had an opportunity to give a good look to last fall in the Arizona Fall League, and I came away very impressed, and that's Hudson Potts. And one of the things that, you know, when you look at Potts, they've moved him very, very aggressively through the system. How aggressive are they going to be? Because right now I don't think they've got all that much at third base, Rich. How aggressive do you see them being with Potts? How much do you like him moving forward?
I like him a lot, Timmy. I mean, look, in most other systems, he would have been a second to a fourth ranked prospect. Maybe even in a Yankee system, he'd be the number one prospect. So it's a really nice player. He hasn't played extremely well yet because they're pushing him so hard. I mean, 19 years old in Double A. I mean, what do you expect?
Right.
But the tools are all there. Plus, he's a workout kid. So, I mean, he's as strong as an ox, and this is a guy with a tremendous amount of upside. It does bug me, Timmy, a lot. And if you read my articles, which I'm very impressed that you're reading them now, I talk a lot about, you know,
I've always read them, Rich.
I've talked about the Kansas City shortstop, Alberto. Mondesi. I mean, he was always considered like a tremendous talent and a guy that could be a number one shortstop, you know, and a potentially an all-star shortstop. But if you recall, was it 3 years ago, Timmy, he played in the World Series as a 19-year-old? It was crazy, right? And, of course, what did he do? He went to bed, right? And Rich Wilson drafted him as his second baseman, and he got about 120 at bats and hit 140 and was down in the minor leagues and growth. And I think clubs do that all the time. And, you know, I know that you don't want to change Kyle Tucker's swing, even though it's got a hitch because he hasn't failed yet. You don't want to slow down Hudson Potts because he hasn't completely fallen on his face, and he's handled the level as well, if not better, than other guys 3 years older than him. But at some point you feel like slow these guys down a little bit. Leonis Taveras, Willie Taveras's cousin, is another example. He's like 19 years old and batting 250 with a .210 on base percentage, and everybody says, oh, he stinks. Well, give the guy a chance to, like, he's already in Double A. I mean, he should be in Low A. I mean, what are they doing? But the teams do it all the time. I think it's at the detriment to a lot of these players.
Okay, fair enough. Very good point.
The emotional response, but it when you write about 447 prospects, I mean, there are three guys that move teams, so I didn't have to write those three. But you get angry sometimes when you say, you see the talent, you know the talent, and you look at the box score and go, what's this guy doing in High A? He should be in the New York Penn League, you know, I mean, with other 18-year-olds. So what are we doing?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, it's Timmy's turn to draft, okay? And he's sitting there in his updraft, and he's looking at two players. He's looking at Buddy Reed, and, oh, he's just salivating. And then he looks at Xavier Edwards, and he starts smiling even more after last year. Who does Timmy take in this updraft? Does he take Buddy Reed, or does he take Xavier Edwards?
So Xavier Edwards and Buddy Reed may be the same player, Timmy. They may be the same player. But I already know who Buddy Reed is. I know who Buddy Reed is. Look, I've seen enough of the guy, and I know he's had a great year. It smells and looks like a fourth outfielder. There is very little strength that he has. I know people are going to say, oh, I've heard that. No, he's slapping the ball around. I said he was going to slap the ball around. If you recall, Timmy, when we were sitting at the game, he drove it to the wall. It's like the first time.
You made a liar out of you.
I know. And the first time
right then and there. Yeah.
And I go, oh, man, so that was bad. But I just don't think it's going to come together for Buddy Reed. It might not with Xavier Edwards. But at this point, Timmy, you have to draft Xavier Edwards. You have to, because he's got Billy Hamilton speed. This is one of the fastest guys in the league, the fastest guy in professional baseball. This is a 80 grade 80-grade guy.
Well, he stole 22 bases in only 45 games. That's impressive.
Yeah.
For what? How old was he? 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there?
Yeah, he was a young kid. I mean, he's drafted in the second round, and there's a lot to like him. And I know people in supplemental drafts or rookie drafts are taking him in the first round. You know, somebody wrote to me on Twitter and said, like, you know, here are my first five guys. It's a lot more, but I didn't criticize the guy because I kind of got where he was coming from. I said it was probably a reason for Xavier, but given where the game's today and stolen bases by a third round gone, the chance in a dynasty league to own a Xavier Edwards who, if he turns into a Juan Pierre and has a 5-7 years, yeah, you got to go for it. So I think you should be drafting Xavier Edwards and putting him fairly high on your list.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rich. Last, but I don't think there is any least in San Diego. Tell us a little bit about Tucapita Marcano.
Yeah, if after this broadcast, everybody's going to be drafting him. But in my dynasty, I'd be targeting him in the fourth or fifth round. As a player that nobody's ever heard of. He was, look, San Diego and AJ Preller. His claim to fame is the ability to sign international players, and he got this guy $100,000, and I think he has a chance to be, a major league regular, whether it's second base, whether it's the outfield, I don't know. But, man, the kid's already showing some really, really interesting tools. So I would – look, there's 15 players on this list. There's probably another 10. They should all be owned in dynasty leagues. They should all be owned. So you you should buy – I think MLB whatever the name of their prospect site is, I can't remember. They put up 30 guys. You should make sure that numbers 16 through 25 are somewhere drafted because it's that good.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing system. It really is, Rich. And we didn't even spend a lot of time with the pitching. We reviewed them, but when you're looking at the potential to see four or five of their current minor leaguers in the rotation in 2 years, that's amazing, isn't it?
Ryan Weathers might be the best of the bunch. I mean, he's that good. He's number 11. I mean, it's look, the only thing the problem is he's 6'1", but man, this guy is strong. He's got a premium arsenal already. It's a really good profile.
Okay. Time to take a break before we move on to Colorado, Rich.
Yeah. And remember Ryan Weathers? Remember his father, David? Remember David Weathers, pitcher?
Yeah, I used to call him Stormy.
Stormy Weather, yeah. Yeah, he wasn't that good. I think his son's going to be better, though. Related to Stormy Daniels, is he?
I don't think so. No. I'm just trying to think if the bonus money was that good back then, Rich.
Yeah, for sure, Timmy, for sure. So we are three systems in. We've got Colorado and San Francisco to go.
Yeah, I allotted 5 minutes for each system with a rant on the Colorado system, Rich. So I think it'll be a full evening, but definitely it won't take as long to get through Colorado and San Francisco.
You're going to do a rant on Colorado?
Yeah, a little bit of a rant, yeah.
I'd love to hear it. So are we going to finish up with that, or are we going to go? So you're in charge. You tell us where to go.
Well, you know what? It sort of starts right off the hop on your introduction. Same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. Like, isn't it about time that Colorado just quit drafting pitchers? Like, what's the point? They draft these kids, they pay them a bonus. None of them ever work out, okay? They're wasting money, they're wasting time and effort. Why don't they just go out and buy the Lance Lynns of the world, number 5 starters, Wheel them out there, pray they get through five innings, and invest in the best bullpen you possibly can and call it a day. Well, like, why did they even bother trying to develop starting pitching? It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue based on the results they had, Timmy. You know, it is interesting that Tyler, the guy that they traded, they got from Toronto, who had the really good season. Help me, Timmy. That's currently out there. He's going to drafts pretty early. Come on.
Let me bring up the
Jays. He came over with the Troy Tulowitzki trade. Kyle Freeland.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Kyle Freeland's from Colorado, right? So he's used to pitching in that environment and had a pretty good year. Marquez,
right.
I love the arm of Marquez. I saw him and we talked about this two or three years ago when I saw him in Trenton and he gave up six runs in the first inning. I thought he had a chance to be a star. I remember saying that to you. I'm like, I saw this kid and he looked terrible, but man, he was big and strong and threw it tremendous velocity with really good secondary, and he turned out to be pretty good. You bring up a good point, but you know, sometimes you get John Gray, and John Gray to me he's going to be good. He is good.
Yeah, I guess so. Is he league average other than the strikeouts?
I think he's above league average outside of Colorado, and I think he's league average or worse than Colorado. I mean, but you get a controlled guy. You get a guy who's better than Lance Lynn. So why
but
not?
You know, often,
why
okay.
not? Hold on. Let me. Why not? I love your bullpen. I agree. They should have the Yankees bullpen. They shouldn't have lost Adam Ottavino. I mean, they should have a lockdown 6, 7, 8, 9 guy. I totally agree with you on that. But why not try to draft a bunch of John Grays of the world, and they're going to be better than Lance Lynn and have them pitch five innings, and maybe their ERA is 4.05, but Lance Lynn's going to be 5.05. So I mean, maybe 6.05.
Yeah, I don't know. The offense is there. It just frustrates me, Rich, when I see a team that I think should be able to achieve better results. And the bullpen has got to be the key in Colorado, yet they didn't address it. So at the end of the day this year, what's going to happen? You know, they might sneak into the playoffs, and then it's all over, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Timmy. Totally agree with you. But I think Marquez is going to be pretty good. Freeland's going to be league average. I think John Gray, I still think John Gray has a chance to be top 30 pitcher. Even in Colorado, I think the stuff is that good. And the underlying metrics say that he should be pitching better. Why he got demoted to AAA last year made no sense to me. I think that's a pretty good 1-2-3. Yeah, the problem is you're not going to get a good free agent. It's not going to go there. It's not going to go. They're not going to.
Yeah, I don't care how much they offer Gerrit Cole. Odds are pretty good he's not going to.
So let's see, Gerrit Cole, 5 years, $25 million, or something like that. He'll sign for maybe 5 years, $30 million. He have to go 6 years and $50 million. I mean, it goes something so ridiculously high. I mean, because he just want to go get his brains beat in.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So anyhow, let's. Getting back to some bats, you got Brendan Rodgers at number one, and you got Garrett Hampson at number two. Heading into the season, it looks like Garrett Hampson has a job. Does Garrett Hampson hold the job, or do we see Rodgers fairly early in the season, Rich? What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't know, Tim. I really don't know. I think Garrett Hampson can keep the job. He's in that weird platoon. With Ryan McMahon. I didn't know Ryan McMahon could play second base. I don't think he can, but maybe he can.
I don't think he can either. I think it's Hampson's job, right?
Yeah, right. But I don't know. So, but Hampson can hit. He's a good fielder. Yeah. I think he can move to the outfield. I mean, who's playing center field? He can potentially play center field. I think Dr. Mershap brought that up to me because I traded for Hampson in the Shohei Ohtani trade. Yes, I like Hampson because I think there's 30, 40 stolen base potential there. I don't think he's Trey Turner, but he might be 80% of Trey Turner.
Okay. So Brendan Rodgers, if Hampson is successful, Rodgers could find himself at third base, potentially replacing Nolan Arenado.
I think that's the move. Rockies are in it in a horrible no-win situation. If you're sitting in class at the general meetings class of the new modern baseball, everybody would say trade him. You gotta trade him.
Right.
He's gonna either get $25 or $30 million in arbitration this year, and
right.
you gotta move him. But they won't,
right.
Because they think they can win. And I know you said last week flags fly forever and so forth. I don't think they have enough to get over the hump. Then if we find out in June, Timmy, that John Gray is hurt and Marquez is not as good as we thought he was, and Freeland went back to a 5 ERA guy, and they're sitting at 500, five games, you might see it Nolan Arenado gone. And then that opens it up for Rodgers. But I think in 2020, that's why – I think Rodgers is your third base. Hampson is your second base. And I can't believe it, but Trevor Story appears to be your shortstop. So,
yeah, quite the turnaround from Story. Colton Welker, long term, you like him at third base.
I do. And my beef with the Colorado Rockies is, and I guess it's a beef, but for me to do my job, it's tough. Grand Junction, which is their short season ball, is probably the third best fourth or fifth best ballpark to hit in all of professional baseball. Astros, probably the third best ballpark to hit in all of professional baseball. Lancaster, which is their high A affiliate, is the best ballpark in all professional baseball to hit in. And then they're in El Paso, which is probably the fourth best ballpark to hit in all professional baseball, and then Coors Field is probably the second. So there's only one location, and that is Hartford in AA in the entire system of the Colorado Rockies that you see a neutral ballpark in a neutral league. We don't really know how good Colton Welker is because he's played in Grand Junction, he's played in Lancaster, and he's played in Asheville, and all he's done is mash. I don't know if he's that good or not. I just don't know.
Okay. at number four, you got Riley Pint. After last year, are you downgrading him a bit, maybe to half a pint?
Yeah, I think he's hurt, and it's a shame because if you read Jeff Passan's book, Riley Pint was in there about how his parents took care of him and nurtured him and blah blah blah. And he was going to everything to go against being injured. He throws 100 miles an hour. He's going to be injured. So,
okay. What are you doing with Peter Lambert?
I don't know, Timmy. He's in most systems he'd be higher than five. He's a good pitcher. I think top 40 pitcher, but could play down in Coors Field. I don't know if he's got the stuff to be effective in Coors Field. I think he's a 450, 475 ERA there and a 350 ERA somewhere else. So it's a league average pitcher. He's going to be Lance Lynn. You're Lance Lynn.
Okay. Fair enough. Moving on. Ryan Rollison, Southpaw. Another early round draft pick. Pitched very, very well at Grand Junction. You're holding out hope as a number three, I see.
Yeah. Look, so Timmy, if you were me, how do you evaluate these guys, right? So Ryan Rollison, let's say he is a number three, but pitches as a number four or five pitcher when he's in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Do you downshift, a grade because he pitches? Do I write, a top 60 pitcher because he's going to play down because he's in? What if he gets traded and then does it go back? I don't know what you do.
Yeah, I think there's a big caveat. All are starting pitchers. have the potential to be non-assets in our game. How's that? And
yeah.
Bill moved. Yeah.
But
the odds of them being assets in the Colorado system are somewhere between slim and none, right?
Is, let's say that Nolan Arenado in 2020 signs with the Philadelphia Phillies. Is he a 40 home run bat in Philadelphia?
In Philadelphia he might be, yeah. It's possible.
What about the Braves? What about Atlanta? I shouldn't have given you Philadelphia.
100.
So it's so hard to write when these kids are young to know what they're going to be because, yeah, Garrett Hampson could hit 20 home runs in Colorado. Is that what his evaluation should be? No, because he's got below average power. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's fair enough. It's definitely something that as we play the fantasy game, we're all aware of it. You take a look at these pitchers that you like that have potential. None of them are going to be drafted because nobody's going to sit on a Colorado pitcher, right? They'll wait and see what happens, and at some point in time, they'll buy them off the waiver wire in season if they show any flashes of success at the big league level, right?
Yep, but you're going to be drafting Tyler Nevin and Ryan Vilott,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be in Sam Hilliard because
okay.
even though in most other systems they may be an extra bat or probably better than an extra bat, but in Colorado, mm-hmm. they get a chance to come up. They have a chance to be really good fantasy contributors.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, number 8 on your list, you just mentioned him, Tyler Nevin. All of a sudden, I felt really old, Rich.
I know.
Because, you know, like Phil Nevin, I own Phil Nevin, okay? Like, yeah, it's where have the years gone? And now we're talking about sons of players that we're now looking at drafting. An interesting story on his dad too, but I won't go into that. You liked what you saw in the fall league, eh?
Did he win the most valuable player?
Oh, I can't remember, Rich. I really can't.
I thought he did. I mean, he was good. He was really good. And they paid a lot for him. It's a nice little player.
Okay. Roberto Ramos. There is a guy that I have never heard of. Looking at Double A. Big kid, 6'5", 220. But he hit 32 home runs between High and Double A. That's some serious power, isn't it?
Yeah, I comped him. I think I'm older first baseman to Jesus Aguilar. So, I mean, if you get Jesus Aguilar to do it with a 27% strikeout rate, but potentially Roberto Ramos can do it as well. I mean, he's got big-time raw power, Sammy, and he strikes out a lot. He's a lumbering first baseman.
Okay. Nico DeColatti, an outfielder. Sixth round, had himself quite the season. Are you looking at him as an option in your sub drafts, Rich? I like the power and speed that I see, but
college kid again. It's hard because he played at Grand Junction. You know, he's going to play at Nashville. I don't go through it again.
Right,
but I mean, he's an athletic double plus runner. Yeah, there's a lot to like,
okay.
And plays Colorado, so. You know, I'm not following the same playbook as I do for San Diego, but I'm always curious on Colorado Rocky positional players. And that's why if you look through this, most of the players I list are positional players, and they're very few pitchers. So this those guys I had to include.
Right, right. Any other players you want to discuss on the Rockies before we move on to our last misadventure in San Francisco?
Ryan Vilott, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, I'm not exactly sure, wasn't good. As a kid, I think I owned in a couple of dynasty leagues, and my same philosophy I just talked about, and I thought he'd be pretty good, and it did not come together for him. So, he's got some talent, but he's got to hit better, he's got to make better contact, and let's see what he does at Lancaster. If he doesn't hit in Lancaster, it's probably time to say, see you later.
Okay, Fair enough. Do we need to sneak another commercial in here, Rich, or can we move
through? We're good. Let's finish her up, Timmy. We've been going, an hour and 15 minutes or so?
We're in an hour and 40.
No, we didn't. We started late, so.
That's right. Yeah.
We got an hour and 20, so we'll finish up here in 10 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, San Francisco won't take a long time. It really won't. Joey Bart, okay. Yeah, you number two overall pick. Where's he going in sub drafts, Rich?
I think high, Timmy. I think he's going to go high, and he probably should. He's not Buster Posey. He's a pretty good defensive catcher. He's got power. Doesn't have the hit tool that Buster Posey has, probably still has. Mm-hmm. And so, but I mean, he's a quality backup. You know, what's funny to me is, and you've been writing about catchers, in 3 years, that position might turn over because it's Cabert Ruiz. And we talked about a lot of them today. Dalton Varsho, mm-hmm. Joey Bart. There's some guys that are coming up that are pretty good catching prospects that actually have an offensive game. And we haven't talked about Sean Murphy. And we talked about Carson Kelly. Those are brilliant. A lot better than what's out there now. So I think that position is going to turn over here quickly.
But you've got his ETA as 2021. That's aggressive for a catcher, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's a college kid, so I think that's legitimate. Yeah, so, and I mean, how many more years does Buster Posey have on that contract? I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but at some point in time, Posey is probably going to end up doing the same thing as Joe Mauer, moving to first base.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with Brandon Belt, but you're probably right.
He'll probably be on the DL at about that time, Rich, give or take.
Sorry to Mr. and Mrs. Belt. It was uncalled.
Yes, it was uncalled for, but it's probably true.
It's probably true, but still uncalled for.
Okay. My apologies. He's still a Hall of Famer to me, folks. A year ago, Helion Ramos and Joe Adell, they were talked about in the same sentence. What happened to Ramos?
Yeah, it was an okay season. First, it was an okay season. Joe Adell just blew up. By the way, Joe Adell strikes out a lot. So let's not say Joe Adell is going to be the next Vlad Jr., just throw out a name, or Mike Trout. I mean, I like the player a lot, don't get me wrong, but he's got some contact issues. He's got to work on his hit tool a little bit. Ramos is a, you know, as I did write, I mean, you kind of brought it up. Still had a pretty good season. It was, you know, it's got some contact problems, and he's still sitting in low A, and Joe Adell, I think, is in double A. So they've definitely separated, but I still like the player, Timmy. So, I don't think it's so unfair when some guy just, you know, does a Mike Trout and blows up. It doesn't necessarily mean the guy he came up with is no good. I think Ramos is still a top 100 prospect.
Oh, okay. So you're definitely not down on him after what happened.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I wish he would have done it, but I still think he's a 260 kind of guy and maybe 2010, 2015 kind of player. So, yeah. That's a good player. Now, Joe Adell has a chance to be a 270, 30-30 guy, so maybe 260, 30-30 guy. And so, yeah, it happens.
Okay. Number three on your list is Marcos Luciano, top international talent, $2.6 million investment in the kid. Are you looking at drafting him in sub-drafts this year, Rich?
For sure, Timmy, for sure. Probably, it depends on who's on the board, but, if I were to take a look, and I will actually rank all of the rookies, people that were players that were signed out of the Latin market as 16-year-olds, and Luciano will fill that role, and then the Joey Barts of the world. And, do you want to go for the home run and go for Luciano as a chance to be a superstar, or do you go with Joey Bart, who's probably lower risk, higher floor type guy? And I think it would be up to the fantasy owner to make that, but I would probably draft Luciano in, top of the third round. Something like that, maybe third round, I'd be comfortable doing that. So I'd be looking at him as a top 30, 40 player coming into eligibility for Dynasty Leagues. I think he has a chance to be very, very good.
Okay. Next player we're going to discuss is, I don't know what the last name, but Sean, I'm going to say Hell.
I don't think he's, I think it's Jelly, right? Yeah, I don't actually know how to say it either. I've actually never heard somebody pronounce his name, but it's, the H has got to be silent. So maybe it is Jelly. Joe?
Yeah.
I know.
Anyhow, I read your write-up on him, and I smiled on both sides of my face. At 6'11", that makes him pretty svelte. I like the word svelte. That's an old favorite of mine. Shouldn't this kid be applying his trade in the NBA, Rich?
6'11 and 225, he'd probably get destroyed in the NBA. It's just not. That's svelte, man. that's thin. So,
have you ever heard of a pitcher at 6'11 being successful?
Well, everybody points to Randy Johnson, and
right.
People forget that Randy Johnson was terrible in his first couple of years. So,
yeah.
I mean, so. Yeah, I mean, and then he was unhittable because he basically learned to control the ball. It's going to be the same thing with so many of these pitchers. The problem is,
right,
you've got these long levers, and you're think about a pitcher is doing all the mechanical things that they're doing, and it takes a lot of coordination to do all that, and it takes time for those guys, repetition after repetition, to create some kind of. Some kind of consistency in their delivery, and then they're able to keep the release point the same way, and then batters don't pick up the balls, and then they're able to control their arsenal, and then it all comes together. But for most guys, it doesn't. You have a lot better chance at 6 feet or 6'2 to control your arsenal. That's
mm-hmm.
why if you ever look at players to me, the shorter guys who have better control, but yet they don't have any plane on their fastball, and then they get killed. So the sweet spot is like 6'2" to 6'4", 6'5". You're tall enough to get really good plane. You're big enough to kind of handle those innings and so forth, but you're not so big that you have a lot more body control. So that's why those extreme of 6 feet and 6'8" and above, those are the ones you have to worry about.
Mm, fair enough. Let's move on to Chris Shaw. And I actually laughed out loud, Rich, when I read your intro. I could tell you that Chris Shaw reminds me a lot of Hunter Renfro, but that would be boring. So let me write 150 words to say the same thing. Priceless, Rich. I just love that.
Well, you know, I had to make sure I had enough words in there to satisfy the readers, but he's Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, no, I laughed out loud when I read that one. Gregory Santos,
huh?
Can you describe his delivery in 10 words or less?
Well, I mean, so when he throws the ball, it's like, I'm trying to think of a pitcher that had, who was the long-term, long-time closer for, he was a Dominican for the Detroit Tigers. Was really good for a while, saved a lot of games, but he had terrible balance when he on his landing. Several years he got he so when Detroit had the really good teams when Miguel Cabrera was in his prime, he came in and blew almost every game in that run through the playoffs, and the Yankees eventually beat them. That's who
I can't remember who it is.
We talked about him and was just like, what are they doing? We got to get him out of there. But I can't remember who that closer was. Anyway, that's who he reminds me of, as a guy with just really off balance when he lands.
Mm. Okay. Ray Black. I took a look and I shook my head. Could not believe what you wrote. Strikeout rate of over 17 per 9. Wow, man, that's off the charts. But then you followed it up with, a 6.1 walk rate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, so look, he's been terribly injured. He's 28 years old. He's got closer written all over him. Timmy, he struck out 17 per 9. I mean, people don't do that. So he makes the list. He'll probably make no other no other person's list, another writer's list, because you're not supposed to put 28-year-olds on your list. That's verboten. I decided to put him on there. I think he could be a closer, and I think it could be soon.
Yeah, and it speaks volumes about the caliber of the Giants system, doesn't it?
Yeah. By the way, is Hunter Strickland the closer now? Fine.
He signed with Seattle today. For those playing draft and hold leagues that took an early chance on Hunter Strickland, like I did in round 32 of one of my draft and holds, you now own Seattle's closer, I would say.
I would agree. And those who thought Swarzak was going to be the closer, oh well.
But there's nothing wrong with a 49 team draft and hold, Rich. There really isn't. There's still lots of players there.
But Ray Black reminds me a lot of Hunter Strickland. That's why I bring it up. Hunter Strickland was a bit of a late bloomer too. Ray Black needs to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, there's something there. If he can't, he'll be a footnote.
Okay. Yeah, and as I'm looking through here, there's not much you can say about Tyler Beatty. There really isn't. But it got me thinking about Kyle Crick. And all of a sudden, it clicked in that he's no longer in the Giants system. He's actually with the Pirates, and he's turned into a decent relief pitcher. So I was sort of happy to see that, Rich.
Yeah, I always thought Kyle Crick would be a closer. I remember back in the day, when I think it was Marcus Potter was on there. We used to talk all the time about guys like Kyle Crick, and I saw him pitch in Double A, and it's like, oh man, that guy, there's no control of his stuff at all. And Tyler Beatty, I don't know what happened to him. He everybody thought he could throw mid-90s, and then we saw him in the Futures game throwing 89 miles an hour. I saw him pitch in some minor league system, and it was 90 miles an hour, and then he lost control, and it's sad. It's just sad.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to discuss about the Giants system, Rich?
Just Alexander Canario is a kid to know. I think I put him fifth. Nice player. Consideration for my top 100, probably is a top 150 player for sure. He's not going to make my next best 10. My next best 10 team. I'm so excited about writing that article because there's some guys' names in there that I'm sure you're going to struggle pronouncing because there's some wild guys and a lot of Latin players. There's just some really high upside guys that I like a lot.
Oh, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that top 100, Rich. I use it as a reference source for all my dynasty leagues, and I'm going to use it for the XFL this year for that draft. So I said I'm chomping at the bit to see that top 100 and those 10 extra players. They're definitely going to be on my reading list for the next while. And when are you going to start with those, Rich? When are we going to see the first 25? Soon?
First 25 comes out on Tuesday, so your second base comes out on Sunday night, Monday, and then we follow that up with the first 25, so it'll be Tuesday, Friday, and then probably take a week off and then come back with Just Missed, and then a lot of other stuff we got planned. So it is so nice to actually have time to think about stuff and write. As opposed to have a real job and like trying to squeeze it in during bathroom breaks with your laptop as you're on the can writing. It's not good. It was like 5:30 tonight. I go, I'm done writing. I'm going to now have a leisurely evening. So I sat and watched some TV, talked to my wife. We made dinner. Well, she made dinner. I watched, and it was great.
What you're saying is you're adapting to not writing on a 747 or an Airbus. Not writing on a plane and trying to get stuff done, because I remember for years you were always writing when you were traveling, and that's got to be tough.
I was writing. The only way I could have done this, because I wrote 100,000 words, right? That's a novel. That is a novel. Now, they're not a good 100,000 words. I'm not saying I'm a good writer, but there's a lot of content there. And the only way to possibly be able to write that much is you have no downtime. So if you have 20 minutes, hey, I can pop out three prospects. You open the laptop and you just start jamming on them. And but now, like, you can write at a leisurely pace. Okay, let me. This is what I want to accomplish today. I got done today at 5:20, and I said I'm done.
Yeah. You know, the sun's going to set. It's going to come up tomorrow, and you can move on to your next project, right?
That's right. And before, Timmy, it was like, oh, I got meetings all day the next 3 days, and then I got to do this, and I can't write for 5 days. Oh, my gosh, I got to stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning to write these prospects. And, you know, so I remember writing the San Francisco Giants we just talked about. That was one of my favorite systems to write, because I remember being very relaxed while I was writing them, and I just felt like the words kind of came out, you know, and it felt a little bit more clever when I was writing them. And but if you look at some of the early stuff that I wrote when I was still working, you know, it wasn't as, I think, casual as I think the writing has become. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's a very good thing, Rich. It really is. You know, I look back to when I was working and trying to get things done, even setting lineups. You know, you're working 8-10 hour days, so you're getting up at 5:30 in the morning so you can set rosters and get some writing in. Then you get done at a 10 hour day, and you know you're plugging away. It's not easy. And as much as I would prefer to be working, not working does provide some luxuries as far as my hobby's concerned. Definitely does.
I will say, Timmy, it's been a month now, or close to a month, that I've been retired, and I haven't missed it one iota. I'm not saying that next month or 6 months or 2 years I want to go, you know, oh my gosh, I missed this. And I've had some people call and, you know, say, hey, I'm gonna bounce an idea off you. But they've been fun. I have no skin in the game now. I just like give my opinion and take it for what it's worth. I don't really care, you know. And it's been great. I feel much more relaxed, and like we were talking about, you have time to do the stuff that you want to do, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's actually encouraging. And so I've been working a lot, as you know, on the site and pretty much getting our advertising stuff right and making sure I'm happy with that. And then this week, I cut a deal with Blog Talk Radio, who actually got sold to a group last year. And so they're merging together. And I think actually Blog Talk Radio turned out to be the lead in the whole thing, even though they got acquired. The executive kind of managed to maintain control. But they're moving to a new platform, Timmy. And as you know, we did a little trial on the platform. I think it's going to be way nicer. I know the tools are way easier to use. I think it's going to sound better. So I'm excited about that. So next week we'll do a little mini, like 20-minute podcast, and that's all it's going to be, Timmy. And we're going to have sound effects. It's going to be fun, just like trying out all the stuff. We'll have a couple of things we'll talk about. And then a week from Sunday is when we'll be on the new platform with our, you know, first legitimate show, and I'm pretty excited about it. So I've had time to actually do that stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun chatting midweek, Rich, and working through and resolving some of the issues that had to be resolved. And I'm really looking forward to working with a headset. The sound quality on the test that we did was just excellent. And like I said, Blog Talk has been good, but we have had our moments, and I think the product will be delivered in a much better and more professional manner with this change that we're looking at, and I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, and you know, we can. There's a lot of stuff I don't know yet. We hook it up to Google Hangouts. I'm not sure I know what that is. So there's other things that we can incorporate into the broadcast. I'm pretty excited about. I'm sure we'll have our. You know, I told the, you know, one of the people I was speaking with, I said, look, at least I knew where all the dead bodies were buried in Blog Talk Radio. I don't know where they're buried in this new thing called Spreaker. I'm sure they're dead bodies. I just haven't found them yet. So,
yeah.
Any of those stuff,
and I
like,
have no
like,
doubt you will.
Because you learn about it and you find ways to work around them. And so hopefully it's going to be better. I'm sure we'll have our own challenges and so forth. But at least it'll be different, and at least something different to do. And I'm pretty excited about that as well. I know we sounded better.
Yeah, no, it sounded really, really good, Rich. And on that note, I want to thank you for the opportunity to interview you this evening. Had a lot of fun. I really enjoy these formats, and hopefully our listeners get a ton of value out of them, because I think I think the information that we're presenting on these prospect shows is second to none, Rich. And I just hope everybody's listening, because there's some very, very wise words of advice coming from you. And my thanks again for the opportunity. A lot of fun.
Tim, you always do a great job. And we will see you on Sunday. And going at it again, my friend.
Sounds good, Rich. Be well.
Be well.